ones that couldn't make it, God, we're just with them in spirit. We pray for Jake and Chrissy as they're in St. Louis, and we're just thankful that Shalene came up from St. Louis, and it's only in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so hopefully my message today is about what happens after the miracle. You can switch it to the next slide. I'm not very good at this, you guys, so we'll just, I have a lot of notes.
Walking along, and she has no shoes on, so I'm like, perfect. So I hop out of my car, I'm like, hey, what size
life that day, but when I got up to pay for my food, the person working there said, the person in front of you has already bought your food for you. And Northeast sticks out. So it doesn't matter if you touch that person's life that you give your shoes to or whatever you give them to, however you help them, someone else might see it and it might touch their life. So verse 10, it talks about the Sabbath day, and I was the Jewish leaders, I'll just read it. It says, the day on which this took place was Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is a Sabbath day, and the law forbids you to carry your mat. So what happens after the miracle? Well, the sad news is these Jewish leaders couldn't even celebrate this man's healing. He had been paralyzed for 38 years. You would think they would get up cheering about how great this is. Oh, this man's healed. He can walk. He can. But instead, they're looking about what he's doing on Sabbath. So my only point to this verse is let's not forget about the miracles happening at Maywood Baptist Church. So when I started using, I was 14 years old. When I first started walking with the Lord, I acted like a little 14-year-old kid. Seriously, I'm not joking. I've been clean 7 years. I'm still only 21. Okay, you guys. So. But just to say, the newcomers, I mean, we're in a church where recovery is huge, and there's people that have never known God, have never walked with God. And, you know, for me, I was 14. I literally acted. I didn't know what to do. So we have to remember not to be short with these kind of people. They're still learning how to live life, you know. All right, so let's see where are we. We'll go ahead and go to the next slide. It says, but he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up his mat and walk? And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. And so what I get from these verses is just that this man never knew who healed him. And we don't give God enough credit for the things that he does in our life. At least I don't. I can remember, you know, there's people that they get sober, they're begging and crying to get into detox. Crying. Please let me in. I just want to change my life. And then 2 weeks later, they're complaining about their roommate snores. You know, they get in there, they get a little warm, get a little food in their belly, they get some clothes, and then it's all about, you know, just complaining. And the thing is we need to give God credit. And also, Jesus didn't come to the palaces when he came, right? Like, it doesn't say in the Bible when Jesus started walking earth, he was hanging out in the palaces with the kings. Like, he comes to those dirty places. This place by the pool, I don't know if you guys know a lot about it, but animals hung out here. Like, it was like animals. Paralyzed people, blind people, crippled people. I mean, I can only imagine what it was like. And that's the place the Savior of the world is hanging out. You know?
Thank you, Jesus.
So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Okay, this is my favorite part of the verses. Finally, we're getting to the good stuff. Okay, so later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who healed him. So the thing that I like about this is that it talks about sin. And first things first, so after the miracle happens, Jesus finds him at the temple. So it says in Luke, chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, that house is swept clean. Then it turns and goes against seven other evil, more wicked spirit than itself and goes and lives there. So what happens after the miracle is this man is found at the temple and he's trying to fill his whole being with God. And so when you get sober and you try to start walking with Jesus, it's like you start clearing that junk out of your life. But if you don't fill it with God, demons seven times more will come and take residence in your life. And it will be, Jesus is coming right here. Stop sinning or something worse is going to happen to you. Like, these are Jesus' words. And it's and in Luke 11, 25, when it talks about that, that is also Jesus' words. Demons seven times more wicked are going to come and take residence. I mean, that is so powerful to me because I know how bad it gets out there. And to think about a man who has worked for 38 years, what's worse than that? I don't want to know, right? What is worse than that? Jeez. Sorry, guys. Oh, boy. Okay. So we can learn of the parable of the sower. Some of us let the worries of this life and the desire for material things choke out God's direction for our life. Some of us allow hard times to stop doing and knowing the will of God. And the thing that I want to talk about is the sin. Is sin causes diseases. So do genetics and germs, right? There's other things that causes diseases too. But what we have to realize is sin causes mental, emotional, and even physical diseases. Our solutions for healing don't work. In one sense, a lot of us do exactly what this man was doing. Not only do we overlook that sin might be the cause, we try to figure out our own system for relief. So this man was sitting by a pool. The reality is, this man would have never made it in the pool. Someone would have had to help him, I mean, because he's paralyzed. So the people that are less disabled than him are always going to meet him to the pool. He was never going to make it. All right. So to finish this sermon, something that I've recently done to help me with just hard times and stuff like that is me and another person, we have both been struggling, you know, just depressed about a certain situation, stuff that's just not happening for us or that we want or we need or, you know, and there's a person that I found that we text each other on a daily basis and we pray for each other. You know, it's just something practical that you could do outside here. When I went through flight training, we read a book. And one of the best practical things, the spiritual disciplines that I learned, that I'm going to share with you guys, you can try it this week, is that every day I got home, I pretend Jesus was sitting in my chair in my living room. So it didn't matter through my whole busy day, whatever was going on, as soon as I would walk in my door, I would pretend like Jesus was sitting there. And it was the best, I don't remember how long I did it for, but it was literally the best spiritual discipline I had ever learned, tried, or anything. Every night I got home, I pretend Jesus was sitting right in this chair. All right. So as we leave here today, I would just like to invite you guys, as I'm reading these, to just talk it over with God. And I'm gonna 60 seconds of silence because it looks like it's already noon. So I'm gonna read these real fast. We might do 30 seconds of prayer. Okay. So if you need God's healing, ask for it in this time. If God has worked in your life and you haven't thanked him for a while, tell him thank you. If you've allowed the worries of this world or your desire for material things crowd out Jesus, talk to him about it. If you're about to relapse, you're experiencing cravings, or thinking about going into your old ways, give Jesus a chance. If you've stopped doing some of the things that you've done to come closer to God or to keep you sober, talk to God about those things and start doing them. If you've been critical or judgmental to others, ask the Lord to soften your heart. To come. Amen. You know? All right, let's pray. God, I thank you.